Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is February 25th, 2021. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Jim Cramer tells GameStop to buy Bitcoin amid latest stock surge. Anchorage, newly cleared as U.S. crypto bank, raises $80 million from A16Z and others. Digital artwork sells for record-breaking $6.6 million in Ether on Winklevoss-owned marketplace. Germany's Solaris Bank launches licensed crypto brokerage. Bitcoin outflows from Coinbase suggest institutions are buying the dip. Coinbase's financials are now public ahead of stock market listing. U.S. Central Bank explains preconditions for a digital dollar. U.S. lawmakers to examine crypto's role in domestic terrorism funding. Now let's get started. Jim Cramer tells GameStop to buy Bitcoin amid latest stock surge. Cramer's comments came as GameStop shares spiked 100% in late trading. CNBC TV host Jim Cramer thinks video game retailer GameStop, GME, the firm at the heart of the recent Wall Street bets-led retail trading frenzy, should buy Bitcoin. With GameStop shares up by 100% and closing at $91.71 in the final hours of trading on Wednesday, Cramer tweeted, GME issue $1 billion in stock, buy $1 billion in Bitcoin and watch your stock go to $430. MicroStrategy, Square, Tesla and others have recently been buying Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation and a devaluing dollar. Cramer previously endorsed MicroStrategy's Bitcoin treasury reserve and said he wouldn't bet against CEO Michael Saylor, whom he called a gunner. Earlier this month, GameStop's stock price rose sharply as groups of retail traders led by Reddit group R, Wall Street Bets bought its stock and others that were being shorted by hedge funds. When the Reddit group started buying, the stocks went up and some short sellers lost billions of dollars. On Tuesday, it emerged that GameStop CFO Jim Bell referenced in Cramer's tweet had resigned for reasons not disclosed by the company. In another tweet over the latest GME price rise, Cramer added, "This is so Wild West, the SEC must be having a fit." Anchorage, newly cleared as U.S. crypto bank, raises $80 million from A16Z and others. The round in the crypto custodian was led by GIC, Singapore's sovereign wealth fund. Crypto custody firm Anchorage has raised an $80 million Series C funding round, led by GIC, Singapore's sovereign wealth fund. Also participating in the round were Andreessen Horowitz, a 16Z, Blockchain Capital, Lux and Indico. This new capital will allow us to rapidly scale to meet the rising demand for participation in the digital asset space, particularly among corporations and traditional financial institutions, Anchorage President Diogo Manica said in a statement. San Francisco-based Anchorage is distinguished as the first crypto native to receive a federal banking charter from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, OCC, making it the first national digital asset bank in the U.S. Anchorage has gone through a brilliant metamorphosis from a world-class custody solution to the standard-bearer for crypto banking. In just a few short years, they've already been a powerful, catalytic force for institutional adoption, regulatory confidence, and overall maturation of the space. We're proud to lend our support as they continue to push the industry forward and the financial systems together, said Blockchain Capital partner Brad Stevens. Over the coming months, Anchorage said it plans to help corporations add crypto to their balance sheets and treasuries, the way Tesla and MicroStrategy have done. The firm also said it plans to scale its lending business and will look to partner with neobanks, challenger banks and traditional banks. Digital artwork sells for record-breaking $6.6 million in Ether on Winklevoss-owned marketplace. NFT marketplace Nifty Gateway said history has just been made with the record sale of the animated artwork created by Beeple. Artwork represented by a non-fungible NFT token has sold for a record-breaking sum of $6.6 million in the Ether cryptocurrency. According to a tweet from NFT marketplace Nifty Gateway on Thursday, history has just been made with the sky-high sale of the animated artwork created by digital artist Beeple. It depicts what appears to be a monumental Donald Trump lying face down in the grass and covered in graffiti. The sale was brokered by Nifty's Art Buying Services, according to the platform, which said the buyer wishes to remain anonymous. Nifty was acquired by the Winklevoss Brothers cryptocurrency exchange Gemini in 2019. The NFT artwork movement has been steadily growing and has seen buyers, who are connected to artists via online marketplaces such as Nifty Gateway, Larva Labs and OpenSea, snatching up digital artworks at increasingly high prices. NFTs are the future, and this is just a glimpse of that. There is no ceiling on what a piece of art can be worth, Nifty Gateway's co-founder Griffin Cockfoster told CoinDesk via email. Soon the most valuable NFTs will be worth more than any physical artwork. Foster said he believed Beeple's artwork sold for such a substantial amount because it was the artist's first ever one-over-one, meaning the artwork is the only one in existence. Mike Winkleman, aka Beeple, is a graphics designer from Charleston, SC, who creates a variety of digital art, including short films and videos. He has also worked on concert visuals for such performances as Justin Bieber, Katy Perry and Eminem, according to his profile on social media platform Behance. Beeple is quickly becoming, or arguably already is, the most important crypto artist in the world, Foster said. Germany's Solaris Bank launches licensed crypto brokerage. With its close partnership with Bitstamp, Solaris Bank is touting an instant-in-custody settlement system. German fintech firm Solaris Bank is building on its regulated crypto custody service with a brokerage and trading application programming interface, API. Solaris Bank, which provides Samsung, among other companies, with a range of APIs for digital banking and payments, announced Thursday it will offer fiat to crypto trading and instant settlement from within its custody solution. We started with custody and now the next step is the brokerage API, Julian Grigo, managing director at Solaris Bank Digital Assets, said in an interview. Our B2B customers will be able to get a bank account, store crypto and with the brokerage API, they can swap or exchange their fiat money to Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. Custody is the first step into crypto for large regulated firms, which has been happening recently with the likes of BNY Mellon and Standard Chartered making announcements. Germany is one of the few places to offer a special crypto custody license via the financial regulator BaFin. This has driven a hotbed of innovation with firms like Solaris Bank and custody provider Finoa leading the pack. There's a strong pipeline for crypto services, said Grigo, pointing to non-crypto businesses tapping into the world of digital assets. We are building the rails for the institutional or the retail investor, he said. We see this in the US with Square, or in the UK with Revolut. What's happening globally is also happening in the German market, and we definitely see this demand. Thanks to a close partnership with Luxembourg-based exchange Bitstamp, Solaris Bank is touting in-custody brokerage and instant settlement. UK-based BCB Group, which also works with Bitstamp, offers a similar instant settlement network with banking from ClearBank. This type of blockchain-enabled instantaneous swapping of crypto and fiat completely avoids the sorts of vagaries seen in the recent case of Robinhood and GameStop. It's quite depressing to see some brokers in the crypto ecosystem copying and repeating this batch delivery of the real assets, like the old T+2 delivery of the stock market into the crypto market, Jigo said, but the blockchain never sleeps, and so we have instant settlement within our platform. Bitcoin outflows from Coinbase suggest institutions are buying the dip. Big money continues to chase Bitcoin on dips, blockchain data shows. Large investors look to be accumulating Bitcoin at relatively bargain prices in the wake of the cryptocurrency's recent pullback. That's the suggestion of outflows of the cryptocurrency from institution-focused Coinbase Pro Exchange, which rose to over 13,000 BTC, plus 2.17%, worth roughly $650 million, on Wednesday. The figure represents the largest movement of Bitcoin off the exchange in 3 weeks, according to data shared by the blockchain analytics firm CryptoQuant. The outflow went to multiple custody wallets, indicating U.S. institutional investors are still buying Bitcoin on the dip. Ki Young Ju, CEO of CryptoQuant, told CoinDesk, "I think it's a bullish signal. The exchange's custody wallets are directly integrated with its over-the-counter OTC desk. Institutions typically transact over-the-counter to avoid influencing spot market prices, hence, outflows from Coinbase Pro that end up in its cold wallets for custody are taken to represent institutional activity. The latest pickup in outflows is a sign that institutions remain undeterred by the recent price pullback and are confident about cryptocurrency's long-term prospects." Bitcoin tanked from record highs above $58,000 to $45,000 early this week in a typical bull market correction. The cryptocurrency has largely traded the range of $48,000 to $51,500 in the past 24 hours, according to CoinDesk 20 data. Spikes in outflows from Coinbase Pro have consistently marked interim bottoms, the end of price pullbacks and the start of reversals higher throughout the cryptocurrency's four-month bull run from $10,000 to $58,000. If history is a guide, Bitcoin could soon begin the next leg higher. On a more cautionary note, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell assured markets of continued monetary stimulus on Tuesday and Wednesday. So far, however, that has failed to put brakes on the rally in U.S. bond yields. Notably, the 10-year Treasury yield has now jumped to a fresh 12-month high of 1.45%, according to data source TradingView. A continued rise in yields could stabilize stock markets, inviting selling pressure for Bitcoin, as noted by trader and analyst Alex Kruger. At press time, the cryptocurrency is changing hands near $51,863, representing a 2.2% gain over 24 hours. Coinbase's financials are now public ahead of stock market listing. The crypto exchange's S-1 form is now live, revealing key details before Coinbase stock hits the market. Crypto exchange Coinbase is officially going to become a publicly traded company. Its Form S-1 has been published by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, clearing the way for its much-anticipated direct listing on NASDAQ. The move caps a 7-month effort by the exchange to go public. Rumors first emerged Coinbase was exploring a direct listing on a U.S. stock exchange last summer, though the company didn't confirm the news until December. At the time, the exchange only announced it had confidentially filed its Form S-1 with the SEC. Coinbase didn't confirm it was looking to list its Class A shares directly until last month. The publication of Coinbase's S-1 provides the first public view of its financial performance and how it intends to use the funds it raises. "We expect our operating expenses to increase significantly in the foreseeable future and may not be able to achieve profitability or achieve positive cash flow from operations on a consistent basis, which may cause our business, operating results, and financial condition to be adversely impacted," the firm stated in the filing, adding, "For instance, although we generated net income of $322.3 million in 2020, we incurred a net loss of $30.4 million in 2019. Coinbase also confirmed that it is using Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Securities and Citigroup to assist us with respect to certain matters relating to our listing. Other key details include compensation for CEO Brian Armstrong, who took home $59.5 million in 2020 all told. We have applied to list our Class A common stock on the NASDAQ Global Select Market under the symbol COIN," Coinbase wrote. According to the Wilson Sonsini Goodrich & Rosati law firm, a pricing committee determines the public price of the stock after an S-1 is deemed effective, but trading may not begin until the day after the form is deemed effective. The company was expected to go public at a $100 billion valuation based on private secondary market trading at the end of last week. The prior week's trading put Coinbase's presumed valuation at $77 billion. The exchange disclosed Thursday that it has been putting crypto assets, including Bitcoin, BTC, plus 2.13%, on its balance sheet since it was founded in 2012. Coinbase ISNT, the only crypto company looking to go public. Bakkt, a subsidiary of Intercontinental Exchange, which is also the parent company to NASDAQ rival New York Stock Exchange, is expected to go public on the NYSE through a merger with VPC Impact Acquisition Holdings, a special purpose acquisition company. A search of NYSE's listing directory did not show Bakkt Holdings at press time. U.S. Central Bank explains preconditions for a digital dollar. The U.S. Central Bank is grappling with how to proceed on a potential digital dollar project. Hours after U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell declared 2021 to be a pivotal year in consulting the public on a digital dollar, his underlings issued a paper describing what that consultation might look like. In a Wednesday Fed's Notes, Fed Reserve Senior Counsel Jess Chang, Payments Specialist Angela N. Lawson and Technology Lab Manager Paul Wong said the onus would be on broadly engaging the public regarding the pros and cons of a U.S. central bank digital currency, CBDC. Privacy issues, ease of use, security access and delivery mechanisms should all be on the table as Fed officials work to sharpen a digital dollar with the public's help, the paper said. And any consultation should likewise include as broad a cross-section of the U.S. population as possible. Engaging with individuals and businesses and consulting with consumer groups, community organizations, and business associations to understand the use case for a CBDC will help in the decision whether to issue a CBDC and its potential design, the authors wrote. Think tanks and academia could also play a supporting role, they said. The authors also outline the basic preconditions essential to the Fed's deliberations on how to proceed. Digital dollar clarity. The Fed would need to clearly understand what a possible CBDC would be used for, the notes said. The technology used would also have to support the CBDC across different conditions while providing 24/7 instant settlement, secure transfer of assets and resilience. Feedback should be drawn from end users of various ages, geographic locations, payment habits, and financial literacy in the design and testing of a CBDC could help sharpen the basic features of a viable CBDC arrangement, the note stated. Its authors admitted a CBDC could grant the central bank unprecedented access into the financial goings-on of its users if designed to allow the most granular transaction information to shine through. This close linkage between money and data contrasts with physical banknotes, which do not carry with them transaction data that can be connected to a specific person and their history of financial dealings, the note said. Congressional oversight. Congress would have to authorize the Federal Reserve to issue a general-purpose CBDC, the note said. Powell echoed this view in testimony before the House Financial Services Committee Wednesday, telling lawmakers the Fed would need legislative authorization. Any digital dollar would be controlled as a centralized project by the Federal Reserve, though the actual nodes would be distributed, said James Cunha, a senior vice president at the Boston branch of the U.S. Central Bank. The Boston Fed has been evaluating different technology platforms, including blockchain tools, with the MIT Digital Currency Initiative to determine what platform would be best suited to supporting a digital dollar. However, support for the idea of a digital dollar, whether blockchain-based or not, seems to be growing. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said earlier this week it makes sense for central banks to consider issuing their own digital currencies. Too many Americans don't have access to easy payment systems and banking accounts, and I think this is something that a digital dollar, a central bank digital currency, could help with, she said at a New York Times conference on Monday, while also dismissing Bitcoin as being an inefficient system for payments. Wednesday's paper dropped just after a Fedwire outage blocking banks from transferring funds. Some crypto exchanges were unable to process ACH transactions during the outage. U.S. lawmakers to examine crypto's role in domestic terrorism funding. Witnesses will likely suggest giving FinCEN better tools to watch for illicit financing methods. Members of Congress on Thursday will discuss whether and how cryptocurrencies and decentralized systems may be used to fund domestic terrorism. The House Financial Services Committee's Subcommittee on National Security, International Development and Monetary Policy published additional details about its hearing on domestic terror financing late Wednesday, including witness testimony. While cryptocurrencies won't be the sole fundraising method discussed, their inclusion may indicate lawmakers are giving crypto similar importance as more traditional funding methods, as well as new but established tools such as PayPal. Other government officials have likewise drawn a connection between terrorism and cryptocurrencies recently. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has said she is concerned by crypto use by extremists, while members of Congress on the House Select Committee on Intelligence want more information on how extremists might have used streaming platform DLive, a unit of BitTorrent that is tied to the Tron Foundation, which rewards streamers in crypto, to raise or transfer funds using crypto. The hearing, titled Dollars Against Democracy, Domestic Terrorist Financing in the Aftermath of Insurrection, was first announced at the beginning of February, but a hearing memo and witness list weren't published until Tuesday evening. The hearing was originally planned for February 23, but was rescheduled to February 25 last week. Leisha Brooks, executive director of the Southern Poverty Law Center, said in her written testimony that encrypted and decentralized tools are being increasingly used by far-right extremists, especially after they were expelled from more centralized social media and financial technology platforms. Not surprisingly, boosted by this new mission and purpose, streaming donations shot through the roof, and some DLive streamers received nearly $44,000 from donations during November and December alone. Some of those same individuals ended up being featured by House impeachment managers as key perpetrators of the violence on January 6 when they once again used DLive to livestream the events inside the Capitol and on the grounds, she said. Daniel Rogers, the co-founder and chief technical officer of the Global Disinformation Index, also noted in his written testimony that cryptocurrencies were one tool being used by extremists. Policy proposals. The hearing webpage listed four proposed bills aimed at boosting the powers of the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, the U.S. Money Laundering and Terrorist Financing Watchdog. Three of the bills don't mention crypto specifically, but would allow FinCEN to freeze the financial assets of any individuals arrested on rebellion or insurrection charges, provide classified information to employees of private financial institutions, and require the agency to create educational materials for government agencies on how extremists can use public benefits for fraudulent purposes. The final proposed bill, titled the Domestic Terrorism Financing Study Act, would commission a Government Accountability Office (GAO) study into how crowdfunding platforms, social media and virtual currencies are used to finance illicit activities. This information could then be used to see how financial institutions and U.S. agencies could track or limit illicit financing. The act also mentions a transfer of 13.5 Bitcoin, BTC, plus 1.27% from a French blogger to wallets linked to far-right figures in the U.S. To be clear, neither the hearing memo nor the proposed bill singles out cryptocurrencies specifically as a tool used solely for terror purposes, but rather includes them among a list of digital and financial tools. The SPLC's Brooks likewise recommends that the Biden administration study how technologies could be used to detect and prevent online financial harms while preserving human rights. This is especially critical as we anticipate a gradual move to a more decentralized technology landscape that, as we discussed earlier, presents many more challenges for tracking and stopping financial abuse, she said. Brooks also recommends that the U.S. Central Bank increase the number of cryptocurrencies included in its Federal Reserve Economic Data (FRED) data service, as well as the type of data collected. At present, FRED includes pricing data for only five assets, but that could be expanded to include transaction data and information on wallet companies, mixing services and mining platforms. The government should not create a new criminal domestic terrorism statute, she said, adding that such a law could harm civil rights. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.